For ease of listening, footnotes and scriptural citations included in the print version are omitted from this audio version. Leading people to Christ. Among our various ministerial duties, none is more important than that of leading people to Christ. Jesus' first words to Peter and Andrew were, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." He repeated the same commission just before he ascended to heaven, telling his disciples, "Ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." While we have a responsibility to the flock of God under our care, we also have a responsibility to those who are outside of God's family. Spiritual vision is the ability to see the opportunities within our current circumstances. For each unsaved individual we know personally, there are probably scores or even hundreds more whose lives intersect ours occasionally. God has ordained that His message be spread to these people through us. We are to be His witnesses to the life-transforming power in His name. Our efforts to win souls for Christ must not be limited to what we can do from behind the pulpit. There are only a few places where we can preach, but personal evangelism can be done anywhere. Church services are limited to a few hours a week, but talking with someone about his or her soul can occur 7 days a week and any time of the day or night. Though only a small percentage of those in our community attend our church services, there are people all around us who need to know how Christ can transform their lives. While our messages in the church setting must be general, when we deal with people one-on-one about their need of God, we can tailor the message to fit the individual. There are certain conditions for success in soul winning. We must have a clean and fully surrendered life. Paul told Timothy, "If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work." Great natural gifts or persuasive ability alone will not bring success. God does not demand a beautiful vessel for His work, but He does demand a clean and surrendered one. We must understand the lost condition of humanity. Those who are most successful in helping people see their need of salvation are those who deeply realize that individuals without God are eternally lost. James said, "Let him know that he which converteth a sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death." Paul related that for 3 years he ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. We need to pray for a profound spiritual understanding of the lost condition of mankind. We must have a genuine love for people. Nothing is a more compelling influence than a real love for others. People find it hard to resist one who speaks to them about their souls out of genuine love, and they will never believe we love them unless we truly do. A love for people's souls is a gift of the Spirit of God, for the first fruit of the Spirit listed in Galatians is love. We must have perseverance and patience. Sometimes the salvation of a soul requires prevailing day after day, week after week, and even month after month. We must not give up and consider someone beyond help. We are to take the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. We must know our Bible. It is the Word that produces conviction for sin, so a thorough knowledge of the Word of God is a necessity. Paul told the Ephesians to take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That is the instrument God has appointed for salvation. We must pray. If we want to be used of God in winning souls, we will need to spend much time in prayer, asking God to bring us to the right people, to give us the right message, to anoint us with His power, and to make our efforts for Him fruitful. We must labor in the power of the Holy Ghost. In Acts 1:8, Jesus told His followers, "Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you." The definite empowerment by the Holy Ghost was a necessity for power in the early church, and it is still a necessity today. Individuals who we approach about their need to be saved will fall into one of several classes. Those who are completely ignorant of God and their need for salvation. Those who are religious but have an erroneous view of salvation. Those who realize their need of a Savior and want to be saved. And those who have little or no concern about their souls. Those who are ignorant of God. For people in this category, we must be prepared to begin with the basics. They will need to understand that they are special creations of God and loved by Him. Sin has separated them and the rest of humanity from God, but He has bridged this separation through the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ, providing forgiveness of sins for all who will receive it. Those who are religious but have an erroneous view of salvation. Those in this category may include church members who assume their salvation is secure because they were confirmed in the church, water baptized, or have accepted Christ. We will need to point them to the possibility of living a life of victory over sin through a definite experience of salvation. At times, this can be done by inquiring whether they know that their sins have been forgiven and they are ready for eternity. If they evidence any doubt, that offers an opening for explaining how to find true assurance. Those who want to be saved. There are wonderful promises in the Word of God that can encourage people who are in this category. We should be prepared to point them to verses such as, "Him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out," or, "As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God." We should continue to encourage them until they have a real assurance of salvation, using such scriptures as John 3:36, which promises, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life." We should always follow up with direction as to how to live the Christian life, encouraging new believers to tell others of their conversion, to study the Word of God, to pray regularly, and to surrender their will to God and obey Him in all things. Those who have little or no concern about their souls. When dealing with people in this group, our goal must be to bring about that concern. At times, a verse such as Romans 14:12, "So then, every one of us shall give an account of himself to God," may help them see their need. Or they may be impacted by a verse that points out the awful consequences of sin, such as, "The wages of sin is death." We must ask the Spirit to direct us in how to show them the peril of neglecting salvation and the wonderful love of God who is reaching out to them in mercy. As we attempt to bring people to Christ, we will find that some have difficulties that they feel are insurmountable when it comes to receiving salvation. It will be helpful if we prayerfully consider in advance some of the objections which may be raised and consider what scriptures might best deal with those objections. Following are some of the common obstacles that unbelievers express. "I have sinned too greatly. God could never forgive me." A wonderful passage that confronts this perception is 1 Timothy 1:15, which reads, "This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." "My heart is too hard. I don't feel anything." We can ask those who make such statements if they feel then that they are lost. If they assent, we can point them to Luke 19:10, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." "I am afraid I cannot stay saved." To those who struggle with this fear, we can use a verse such as Jude 24, which brings out that Christ is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. Those who are focused on their own weakness may find courage in Paul's statement, "And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." "I cannot give up my sin." There is one simple way to refute such a thought. the biblical injunction that they must be willing to give up sin or they will perish eternally. I tried to be saved before, but failed. A good verse to use with those who point to this as their difficulty is 2 Corinthians 9:8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. The Christian life is too hard. In Matthew 11:30, Christ states that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. We read in 1 John 5:3, For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. I would have to give up too much. This mindset is often present even when it is not verbalized. If we sense this attitude, we could reference Mark 8:36-37. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? I have been seeking God, but I cannot seem to find him. We can confidently tell one who expresses this perspective, I can tell you exactly when you will find Christ. This may surprise the individual. Follow up with Jeremiah 29:13, And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Help the individual understand that up to this time, he must not have been searching for God with all his heart. I have sinned away my day of grace. Those who feel they have spurned God for so long that they no longer have an opportunity to be forgiven can be pointed to John 6:37, which we may need to repeat over and over again. Another useful passage may be Romans 10:13, Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Repeatedly draw their attention to the word whosoever. We must approach such discussions with solemnity and earnestness and in the power of the Holy Ghost. When we deal with a person's need for salvation, we are addressing a life and death matter with them. God will give us insight and grace as we do our best to prepare ourselves for this tremendously important aspect of our ministry. Counsel for ministers. While we must set the example of interest in the souls of men and willingness to address the spiritual needs of those we come in contact with, we must also encourage the members of our congregations to do the same. The work of evangelism is not solely for preachers. Evangelism is also to be accomplished by individual Christians, for every believer is called to be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Let us continually hold that challenge before the people. In the Apostolic Faith Organization, we close our services with an invitation for all to pray. This is a prime opportunity to deal directly with seekers, and we should observe those who come forward to seek God for an experience and try to make sure that we, or another qualified minister or worker, prays across the altar from that individual.